Hello, New Covenant. Welcome to Transfiguration Sunday. This is Pastor Renee on the last Sunday in so-called ordinary time before the Mardi Gras culmination of Fat Tuesday and the beginning of Lent this Ash Wednesday. Today, we get to glimpse what just a few of Jesus' disciples were graced with witnessing before his death. That amazing meeting of three men on a mountaintop, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, shining with the glory of the heavenly realm. I appreciated last week how Jeff reminded us that what we see in the physical realm is not the only reality at work. There is a spiritual reality going on all around us and in us that we often don't recognize. God is working out God's purposes in our lives and in the world, redeeming situations that seem like total disasters. Jesus's impending crucifixion was the epitome of such an atrocity. The miscarriage of justice, the dashing of hopes in a death like so many other revolutionaries whose followers were likely to be killed as warning examples to other would-be messiahs crushed by the empire. Jesus gave his very closest friends, Peter, John, and James, a window into the spiritual realm as an encouragement to sustain them when the physical reality would look hopeless. Not surprisingly, they didn't get it, as we also often cannot recognize what is being accomplished in the spiritual realm. We don't know how to interpret the vision when it's happening. Only later, usually, in hindsight, can we make sense of our experiences and see God's plan at work. John, James, and Peter were Jesus' closest companions. And today I want to talk about that closeness, that proximity. In our readings, we have several examples of how proximity to greatness, to glory, transforms people. Moses was transformed by being in God's presence so that his face glowed too brightly for others to manage. Elisha was transformed by sticking close to Elijah, refusing to be deterred, keeping him always in sight to the point at which Elijah was taken by the chariot in the whirlwind up into God's presence. A transforming experience indeed. Jesus was transformed through his obedience and closeness to God, always praying and going about the Father's business, doing the work he saw God doing. And we too are called to be transformed by increasing our closeness, our proximity to Jesus and to our Father. So while we consider these lofty ideas, I've been thinking about the concept of proximity in our everyday lives. In my 17 years as a K-8 public school guidance counselor, I gradually added more and more teaching to my schedule so that by the last few years, I was spending significant portions of my day doing classroom instruction, which meant, as any elementary or middle school teacher, or even high school teacher knows, developing classroom management survival skills. Because I served in a stable rural district of families who had lived and worked the land for generations in many cases, the majority of the kids I met in kindergarten as little five-year-olds would be in my classes every year through eighth grade graduation. The beauty of that model was that I got to build relationships with kids over the years, developing a curriculum that would circle back to certain topics year after year, deepening conversations of concepts as kids grew older. It also meant that the behavioral expectations I set in kindergarten established a foundation for our interactions over the next 9 years. Proximity was my greatest tool in the classroom. As a teacher, I was always moving near to the desk of those most likely to make mischief. They needed my attention, my presence, my nearness to their restless selves. Proximity was an investment that paid for itself many times over. As a parent, I also relied heavily on proximity to encourage behaviors that facilitated family and social life, which again meant that I didn't sit down much, except for the many hours of reading to kids sitting on my lap or snuggling on the couch with books. These are the ordinary activities of our everyday lives. We are always choosing what and to whom we will be close. As I've been thinking about this topic over the past week, I've paid particular attention to physical presence. In whose company do I put myself? How is that proximity transforming me? And how might others around me be affected by my presence? When kids are in middle school and high school, we think about their peer groups because we know how important that influence is. In our adult lives, we settle into friendships and routines, and the people with whom we surround ourselves continue to be so important to our development as human beings. In the last few years, I've gotten to hear the spiel from various colleges and universities as they try to attract students to their campuses. They talk about growing as people, learning who we are in the world, becoming the person we want to be. And it's a good reminder for me that this is the journey we are all on, the process of transformation. Are we becoming more and more of the person God has created us to be, living increasingly into that identity? Today, I'm particularly taken by the story of Elisha, his persistence in pursuing what and whom he wanted to be like. He desired the spirit of Elijah to be at work in him as well. What do we desire? How are we pursuing that transformation? Are we putting ourselves in proximity to those people who have the spirit we want in ourselves? In sermons on the Transfiguration, I have often heard people speculate and explain why Moses, why Elijah? And the symbolism of Moses as the law and Elijah as the prophet is compelling. The work that God is doing through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is the next huge step in God's work of salvation for humanity, building on the foundation of the law and the prophets to fulfill all that was promised through them. But this time, when I scanned the lectionary passage that Caroline read for us today, I noted something that had not stood out to me before. Twice in this short description of the meeting on the mountain, Luke refers to Moses and Elijah as two men. The precise physician wants us to know that Moses and Elijah are not symbols, spirits, ghosts or gods. They are men, clothed in heavenly splendor, speaking with the human Jesus, whose clothes flash like lightning. Three men who experienced God's presence intimately in their time on earth, whose lives evidence their transformation in process, meeting to discuss the spiritual things to be accomplished in the physical realm, while three other men looked on in sleepy incredulity. Why is this important, this glimpse of glorified humans in discussion? This is a taste of what is to come, a seed of hope that stills our souls from fretting about all that we do not understand. And this is the company that Jesus keeps. In the presence of his heavenly Father, he communes with Moses and Elijah. On the dusty roads of Palestine, he walks with his closest friends, Peter, John, and James. And this same Jesus, through whom God accomplished our salvation, the firstborn of an inclusive human family, invites us to join in. Like the disciples, we get sleepy, confused, and say things that make no sense. But Jesus welcomes us as brothers and sisters, partnering in the work of the Father. Human beings, we are, with the hope of being clothed in the heavenly glory that Moses, Elijah, Jesus, and then the disciples got to experience. And so, as we transition out of ordinary time, we set our sights on our journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. This coming Lenten season invites us to consider our time, our space, our physical proximity to those around us. How might we enter more deeply, more often, into Jesus' presence, that we too might be transformed into his likeness? With Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and the disciples as those who went before us, may we persevere into God's presence, not leaving our humanity behind, but becoming more fully clothed with splendor in the heavenly realm. This is why we don't get discouraged, Paul says in Corinthians, because we have received this ministry of mercy. May we look with unveiled faces on the glory of the Lord and likewise be more fully transformed into his image. Amen.